The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk about modular homes for Ukrainians. The 26th of April is when Cabinet signed off on plans to house Ukrainians in modular homes on state land. Now, that was the 26th of April, 2022. 888 days ago. Will I give you a sense of just how long ago it was? China still had a zero COVID policy when the government announced these plans. Elon Musk didn't own Twitter. Roe versus Wade was still on the statute books in the US. Queen Elizabeth was still on the throne in the UK. And Logan Roy still had an iron grip on Waystar Royco. That's how long ago it was. Now, if you think the delay is the story, it is not, because the Comptroller and Auditor General has produced a report that says the initial estimate for each of these modular homes is going to be €200,000. It's now closer to €450,000. That is right, €450,000 per modular unit. Carl Dieter, financial advisor and analyst with me now. Carl, were you as shocked as I was when you heard this news of state profligacy?
Oh my God. You know what it made me realize, Kieran? Do you want to know how to make €1 million? Take anything in the world more complex than a toothbrush and sell it to the Irish government. I mean, just in the last week, we've had €350,000 bicycle sheds. Over the weekend, we had a 1.4 million security shack. Now we have modular homes, builders, the low-cost solution, inflating at a price that makes it almost as shambolic as the children's hospital. And the only saving grace in such a massive Kafkaesque debacle is that it will result in a lot of heads rolling, you know? Actually, I'm just kidding. No one's going to get fired.
But that's the point.
There's never going to be any trouble. Sure, it's public money. It may as well be free. You know, that's actually like accountability. Instead, we'll have a hurried press release about mistakes we're made. We'll look into it. And a few years later, we'll be none the wiser, still out of pocket and focused on whatever the next dumpster fire du jour is. And that's the one guarantee you can bank on. There'll always be a dumpster fire. It's the only thing we'd do with any consistency. And this will never be solved, because it doesn't need to be solved. You could just blow public money like an idiot, and it's never anyone's fault.
So, I mean, lessons will be learned, Carl. There will systems failures will be cited. That's always a favourite of mine, systems failures. Like we've got these systems that run on their own and there's no oversight of them. The system let us down there. But I mentioned we've kind of this psychiatrist on later talking about kind of the mindset of people who are attracted to murder mysteries. I mean, well, let's assume that you know, the people who are attracted into the public service are the same as anybody in the country, which of course they are. Like, what is it about the spending of public money then that over time there just seems to be kind of less regard for it?
Well, I will say, by the way, the whole linking of a murder mystery to Irish public expenditure is completely unfounded, because in a murder mystery, at least you get to find out who done it.
There is accountability at the end of every episode. That's how it works.
It's never going to be found. I mean, this is a total failure by the Office of Public Works, and also by extension Roderick O'Gorman. And it shows that, I mean, he's got a €7.44 billion portfolio. Just to put that in perspective, to get €7.4 billion, it would take an average person working full time 166,000 years of work to earn it. And he's over there seeing the thing. And it's no wonder he was in the papers over the weekend saying he had to go to Pascal O'Donoghue cap in hand looking for more funds. It's stuff like this. I mean, and even if you look at the folio, you know, what is it? I have it in front of me, the how your money is spent. We spend almost $2 billion on a fair and efficient support system for international protection seekers, another $3 billion for an equal and inclusive society, whatever that means. Meanwhile, for, you know, actual children and family supports, it's about $1 billion and $1.2 billion on sectoral programs for children and young people. The whole thing is upside down. I mean, for $442,000, you could have just gone and bought luxury apartments. Yeah, I mean, it was meant to cost $200,000. That's like buying a Ford car, being charged for a Ferrari, but then you actually get a Ford with a Ferrari sticker pasted onto it and told, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I have to say, I even thought €200,000 was a lot to pay for a modular home in the first place, but it shows how little I know about the trade. But you know, there's this idea.
That's not known as a trade, by the way. That's called not knowing anything that the government turned their hand to, because it's the one way to ensure that the budget bleeding spirals out of control. If this was anything else other than government money, loads of people would have been sacked by now. And it wouldn't take like a special report to find out that it's completely derailed. It would just never happen. And we accept this. That's the infuriating thing. We keep accepting these outcomes, and people don't get fired, and ministers don't resign. They actually have not a shred of decency in their body that they won't say, wow, I have messed up. I have messed up so badly. I should jump ship. I should just stop being, you know, doing what I'm doing. It happens in every other country except for here.
And why do you think that is? Is it like, is it that just these kind of, these bodies are so opaque that it just takes up too much of our mental bandwidth to kind of get exercised by it?
No,
although I don't think that's it, because people are exercised about these overspending. But then for some reason, that kind of annoyance doesn't spill over into a demand for accountability. I guess that's the where there's some sort of kind of mental break.
I actually think there's a culture of cuteurism, of holding on no matter what the mudslinging is, whether it's a, you know, terrible outcomes. We've seen them in every manner of department. But like, name a couple of ministers who've resigned over a scandal. Quick pro tip. You probably won't be able to, because they don't. But in the UK, you've had people, you know, classified like taxi fares, bus fare, and they step down, or they do minor infractions and they have the good decency to realize that to set a standard for society, they will step down, not because of the size of the infraction, which in this case is just a mere 250 million, but because of what it represents. And you just don't do that here. And it's really tragic, because then that means that we get all these horrible outcomes and it actually becomes acceptable to fail and to see failure as your base case, as your baseline. I mean, if you look through this case, there was 4 cost revisions in 6 months. It's where people are playing with Monopoly money and every round the price doubles and you're not sure why, but everyone just keeps nodding along and playing the game. Like, it's complete madness. The more I read through that article, I saw one by Martin Wall in the Irish Times. What a great article, by the way, and hats off to him. It's just so frustrating to see these kinds of things happening. You know, there were cost reviews after the contracts were started. There was a lag in approval. There was, you know, the proof of concept phase, which was really the proof of comedy. All this is it's like a giant, like I say, a Kafkaesque nightmare, except it's being done with public money.
Now, what somebody working within the OPW might say is, oh, well, listen, there was massive price inflation and labour shortages and everything of that. And it was partly kind of a spillover of COVID, which was still kind of lingering. And then the Ukraine war made everything worse in terms of cost. So there was inevitably going to be a cost spiral. Nothing to do with us. Systems failures.
Would you stop with your shite? I can't listen to that stuff anymore. It's not even credible. It doesn't even make any sense.
There was cost inflation. There were higher input costs.
There wasn't 120% cost inflation matched with a 3-year lag. I mean, imagine if you order next day delivery on a pizza and it comes to you in 20 bleeding 25. That's what I'm talking about. Everything about this was wrong. Everything is shambolic and everything is being done wrong. You can't just keep looking at that and then throwing out a few throwaway statements. Oh, sure, cost inflation, the Ukraine war, blah. In that case, then, why bother having a budget? Just say it's going to cost whatever it costs and sure, trust us with it. But all I can tell you is this. If you start to drill into this, at every single step of the way, you had monster inflation from 200,000 to 450,000 nearly. You know, a more than doubling of costs, site issues. When the OPW themselves did the site surveys and presented every site, and then suddenly, you know what, they must have done the surveys when the tide was out. Because apparently they all the sites changed that much between the time that it was surveyed and the time to come break ground. You know, cost reviews happening after contracts are awarded, approval lag, delayed completion.
Yeah.
You know, 18,000 per site, per unit for site conditions. I mean, is the dirt in those sites made out of the compost of Hermes bags? All of this added up. It is completely ridiculous. It actually reads like a comedy, except that it's real.
Yeah, my favorite line was that some of the sites were smaller when they went to look at them. Which, I mean, whatever about the tide going out or Hermes bags kind of making up the lining of the site. I mean, at the size is the size. As far as I know, the planet's not shrinking.
Yeah, it's like ordering shoes and then 6 months after you've been wearing them, realizing that they're too small. Like, that's the kind of stuff talking about.
You know what? Do you know what reminds me? Sorry, as you say that, I ordered a pair of swimming fins on Decathlon, size 11. And when they came, it turns out I accidentally shopped in the children's department, which is why they were so cheap. So maybe it's a little bit like that.
They bought in the children's land department. Maybe they did it based on sites, based in that, what was that place? The land of the dwarves and the giants. I can't remember. It was some Brothers Grimm story. But like, that's the kind of stuff you're looking at. Like, you'd actually laugh about this. Like, you could actually write a story about this and it would appear in, you know, Waterford Whispers or The Onion or something. Like, that's how bad it is. But this is what passes for reality. That's actually real stuff. And the worst part is there's people waiting on those homes. There's women and children who ran from a war for this? Like, and this is what we spent all our public money on.
Well, so this is another point, I guess, the delay, as you say, kind of nearly 3 or whatever, almost 900 days worth of delay, April 26, 2022, 26th of April, when Cabinet signed off on it. And at the time, and I'm not looking for any kind of prizes for insight or anything, I remember putting it to government ministers. It's several years since government ministers were citing modular homes as a solution to the housing crisis or the housing shortage, which was getting worse. And there was no sign of modular homes solving that problem. And I couldn't understand why suddenly modular homes were going to be the solution to housing Ukrainians. It turns out they weren't.
Well, they weren't, because you know what it was? I think there was just some kind of fancy buzzword of let's do this. We're all in it together. In fact, it's not. All it is a massive appropriation of public funds, you know, the working funds of millions of taxpayers getting ripped off yet again, not getting what they paid for. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether it's a 350,000 euro bike shed, a 1.4 million security shack, or a 442,000 container home that, you know, should have cost 200,000, or sorry, modular home that should have cost 200,000. And, you know, that it just keeps on passing. It's like, that's okay. Nobody resigns. Nobody gets fired. It's like, what's the point? Why would you even interview for a job if it's like, who cares how you do? Like, we don't actually care what you do. Like, do you, I mean, here you are, you're on radio. I'm assuming you have to actually put on a radio show. If you went out and then you didn't, would you still work at News Talk if you just stopped showing up, if nothing ever happened the way it should? Well, we do that with pub. There's some people who might like you to stop showing up. I'm not one of them. But this, I had to get that in, Kieran. I need to keep it exciting with us. But look, it's like, these are the basic premises of doing your job, not like special job, just your job, not like spectacular, you change the world, just your job. And nobody ever seems to get it done. And then there's a scandal and we nod our heads and we say, oh, mistakes were made, system failures, etc. And we move on to the next dumpster fire. All I'm saying is I want no more dumpster fires. I just want someone fired. I just want them sacked. I want one person at least sacked for having messed up to the tune of 250 million euro and at least have the decency for someone somewhere to step down.
Is that Carl Dieter or Roy Keane reviewing the performance of the OPW Wonders, one listener on the text line? Accountability for bad decisions and misuse of public funding should lie with civil servants as well as line ministers. This is Ireland, says somebody else. Nobody's at fault. No one is to blame. On to the next disaster, please. And one more. There were modular homes on display at the Ploughing Championships last week for 80 grand. Where's the other 320,000 euro coming from, wonders that listener. And Amanda says, is there anything Joe Public can do to protest or to spur some sort of accountability? I feel outraged listening to this, yet at the same time, I have no idea if there's anything I can do more effective than WhatsApping a radio station. Amanda, politicians galore should be calling at your house between now and November 15th, by all accounts. And they are the people you probably need to bring it up to, as well as with radio stations. But thank you for the text anyway. 087 1400 106. Carl Dieter from Irish, Director of Irish Mortgage Brokers. Carl, it's always a pleasure. So thanks a million for taking the time to chat.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.